Speaking of health, we know we should all be healthier. As I age, the calls from people I love, like Diana, who's home with grandchildren today, she's not sick or anything, she's at home with grandchildren. We've had them for a few days, and we have them till tomorrow, midday. So I hear from her not to eat my favorite foods. I'm not going to bore you with it. You regulars know what it is, and you're laughing. See, they're already laughing. So if you want to come in sometime, you hear about that. And so there are different ways that we can be healthy, and one of the things that's out there is a superfood called kale. How many of you know? All right, Tim, you got it going. Okay. Kale, it's a green leafy thing, and it's called a superfood. 1 cup of raw kale has only 33 calories, but it contains, listen to all this, 684% of the daily vitamin K you're supposed to get. Whew! Vitamin K is really good for you too, by the way. 134% of your daily vitamin C. This is 1 cup. 206% of vitamin A, plus iron, folate, I don't know what that is, omega-3s, magnesium, calcium, iron, fiber, and 2 grams of protein. Whew, it's a superfood. One article said this, but kale's secret power is its antioxidants, which alleviate inflammation, improve the liver's ability to detox, and can even protect brain cells from stress. It's all good stuff, right? But there's a problem. Kale has a unique flavor and texture. The comedian Jim Gaffigan says, kale is a superfood and its special power is tasting bad, and that it tastes like bug spray. He said he even bought a can of bug spray and the main ingredient was kale in it. And he also, referring to its texture, it's like really bitter spinach covered with hair. But encouragement is, out there in worldwide web land, there are helps for us, both for the taste and the texture. For the taste, add a drizzle of coconut oil. You guys use coconut oil? It has its own benefits. Add a drizzle of coconut oil to a plate of kale. It makes it so much easier to scrape off into the trash. So that deals with the taste. The texture. Massage olive oil into the kale to break down the fibers. That's what makes it hairy. My daughter-in-law does that. Otherwise, it'll still stick to the plate when you try to scrape it into the trash. So either way, the kale goes into the trash. No, we just joke about that. But really, really, we understand in this day and age the importance of diet and exercise and those things. And as we continue in this series called The Effects of Emulation, which means what we get when we follow Jesus. Emulation means to follow someone. We're going to talk about being healthier. But the series verses, let's remember those before we get into that. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18. This is what we're doing. We are actually remade into His image. We don't just follow along and see the things He's doing. We actually become part of who He is in a growing way. And Ephesians 5, the first half of verse 2, and live a life filled with love following the example of Christ. And if you remember from a couple weeks ago, that is the umbrella term for emulating Jesus. He lived a life full of love. We also are called to live a life full of love, and that's broad. It has a lot of little ticks underneath it, and subcategories, and some of those come out as we share together. But this is week 3, a healthier you. When we follow Jesus, we become healthier. Number 1, physical health, just like we were talking about, kale. Jesus is better than kale, let me just say that. From Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22, my child, pay attention to what I say. That's following Him, emulating Jesus. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. We're going to talk about some of the spiritual element of this kind of health in a few minutes, but we don't discount that actually following Jesus and being like Him helps us to be physically healthier. there, I'm dividing each of these categories, and there's four of them, into the outward and the inward. And the outward is me living a life of love outward to other people, and inward is me living a life of love to myself. We need to love ourselves too. And it brings different benefits or effects as we follow him. Outward, when we are giving to other people, when we are sharing our lives, and that's living the life of love. And if you remember the foundation, you probably don't, and I don't blame you. It was a couple weeks ago, maybe even 3 weeks ago, because I did a foundation message first, is that Jesus gave himself for us. That's the premise of his life of love. That's where that language comes from. And giving our lives to serve others is what we're talking about in living a life of love. So outward, as we do that to others, and you're going to hear the word giving a lot, but this is not aimed at just contributions of money. It's all of our contribution into the lives of others. So apply that. There was a 5-year multi-institutional study looking at being unselfish with the people around you in your lives, giving. It's living a life of love. That's how I'd say it. So you're not only helping others, but it also can protect your health and prolong your life. Okay, so there were 846 subjects in this 5-year study. I love when science confirms what we already know from the Word, because it does every time when truth is revealed. It does every time. They were all from Detroit, so it was a local kind of study, and they discovered when people were dealing with stress in their own lives, stressful situations, those who helped others were less likely to die than people who didn't help others and just focused and concentrated on what was going on that was stressful in their life. You feel that, don't you? I can get wrapped up in the stressful things that go on in my life. Matter of fact, I was in bed last night thinking about something that I was trying not to think about, you know, like that never works. Praying like mad for the Lord to release me, and he finally did, you know. But when we move beyond that, and even in stress that we feel, because life is stressful, and we help other people, it changes our longevity, how long we live. That's a physical existence. This study revealed a significant interaction between helping behavior and stressful events, and their conclusion was that helping others reduced mortality by buffering the association between stress and mortality. So cortisol has something to do with that. Cortisol we need in certain situations to fight or flight, but when you have a constant flow of cortisol in your system, it tears your body apart. And when you help others, that lessens. Here's the interesting flip side of this. They failed to establish in this 5-year study that receiving support from somebody changes your stress or your longevity. So, giving credence to what Paul reminded us that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's actual physical something that happens in our lives that helps us to have a better physical life, better longevity. That's in an outward living a life of love and helping all those around you. And by the way, that means people don't like you, as well as it does helping the people who are easier to help, those of your own family members and friends. Inward, when you love yourself, when you take care of yourself, when you give yourself breaks, when you rest when you should, that's part of living a life of love. Oftentimes that probably gets lost in the mix in a week-to-week exposure to church, because we're always saying, you know, the Lord says this, and we're down here messing around. We need to be like this. We need to change and do. We always talk about do or refer to do. But it's being good to yourself. It's being getting rest for yourself and surrounding yourself with the right people and not just letting negativity fill your world. When you do that, that also helps you. Romans 12:1, Paul writes, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." When I give him my body and don't let it be subject to the ways the world wants me to live, and that's really what living a life of love to myself is, we are completely walled off from some harmful things, like alcoholism, like some diseases where God says, don't behave like this, behave like this. This is loving yourself enough to follow me and doing the right things, and it's not always the easy thing to do. but it promotes your own physical health by keeping you from even being exposed to some of the things. And it is actually worship to do that. And Paul specifically talks about the body here. Even though we know the body will eventually fade away and will be released in our spirit, and we'll get a new body and be with Jesus forever. So if this is true, or when it becomes true, it is true. There's no if. And you are living a life of love outward toward others and toward yourself. You are able to gain more health, physical, bodily health. And good physical health helps promote the second, and that is mental health. Number two, if you have a handout, is mental health. You are more mentally, have more mental, good mental health when you are living a life of love, both outward and inward. So you can see part of it. We already talked about stress. Stress has that effect on the body and that effect in the mind and in how we approach things. Stress is a killer all the way around. And so that's just kind of off the top and kind of bleeds over from physical health. Outward, when I practice the life of love outwardly to people around me, I can assure myself mercy and grace from the Lord himself. It's actually broader than that, but those are the two words that I decided to jump off from. So Luke 6:37, Jesus speaking here, "Do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will all come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven." And don't forget the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. So that's living a life of love. So the challenge for us is that people don't always act in a way that invites us to live a life of love toward them. If you have an enemy, and that's maybe too harsh a word, if you have someone who is not for you, it's really easy not to live a life of love to them. Actually, it's easier to live a life of separation from them, right? We just like to exempt ourselves. And there's a lot of that, you know, notion, and there's a good kind of, there's good side to that statement of don't be around toxic people, people who are toxic to you. But the other side is, in some of those instances, if you're not being hurt, they may need you to be around them. They need to see Jesus. And this is one of the ways that they see Jesus in us. People do things that invite consequences, but we are not the ones who are in charge of those consequences. God himself said he would repay. So we are kind to others, and we get kindness back. In the Lord's Prayer, we are reminded, "Forgive us as we forgive others." So there's something going on here, and that gives us mercy and grace and mental health because we know we're in favor. Can I put it that way? We're not trying to get out of disfavor. He loves us always. He never loves us any more, no matter what we do. He never loves us any less, no matter how bad we are. But to know we are not going to be judged by him, we are going to be given all those positive things, helps mental health. Inwardly, when you are good to yourself, you get peace. And peace is part of mental health. I say this is targeted responsibilities, or in other words, God does God and I do me. And we don't confuse the two, and that lessens the burden, and I get peace. The verse is from Philippians. You asking me about Philippians this morning, Jim? Well, here's one from Philippians. "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." So we usually share this from verse 6, don't worry about anything. But that fuller context is including us in this life of love. So being kind to yourself is not a standalone so that you choose, okay, I'm going to be kind to my neighbor, and then at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be kind to myself. In being kind outward, you are being kind inward, as Paul points out here, by splitting off the responsibility So I'm not responsible to judge them. I'm not responsible to condemn other people. That's God's job. And then anything I have that's going on in my life, I can pray to him and know that he'll do his part if I leave it to him. And he'll show me how to do my part, and he will show you. And the result of that is peace. Now, the trick sometimes is remembering that peace doesn't mean that everything is going to go smoothly. Okay, so throw that definition of peace out the window. It's being at peace with where God leads you, even if it leads into places where you really have to apply yourself. And let's face it, if you've been following Jesus any amount of time, you know you sometimes you just have to, you want to do something other than where he's leading you, and you just need to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. That's where the effects of following him or emulating him come in when I make that decision. He's the one that empowers that, so I have peace, and that brings mental health. I don't waste time worry. I don't know the connection between worry and cortisol, if there is one, but we know that worry at least takes us from being able to look at things that are positive and just gets us wrapped into things that are negative. And that's what I was doing last night in bed. Actually, two times I woke up and had a little few minutes wrestling with him again. But we pray, and then he comes and brings peace, and that brings you mental health. If you can't sleep, you'll do crazy things. The more tired you are, you'll have crazy thoughts. You can, and that's part of the peace that happens when we are following Jesus, and that promotes our mental health. So we have physical health that improves when we emulate Jesus, when we follow him. We have mental health that improves. Number three is material health. So sometimes we skip over this. This is, you know, we're not supposed to be materialistic. We're not supposed to exalt things over God, but we need things. And in honest worship and whole worship of God, we have an expectation, as we are reminded in Scripture, that we must believe that God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. There is something that comes in. We are built to eat, to survive. Now, some of us are surviving for two or three people. I'm wrestling with that myself, you know. But we need that. We need things in this life. We need to get around, whether it's a car or a bus or a bicycle or your feet or whatever it is. We need some things. So some would minimize the material world, but the problem with not speaking truth in that realm is that we can give it a mystique that eventually can take over because we don't provide guidance, and we are provided guidance. Boy, that was a lot. I hope that made sense. So outwardly, as I'm living a life of love to others, Luke 6:38, it's one of the verses we use at giving times a lot. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, the New Living Translation begs a little here. In its more modern words, it makes us think that this could be a quid pro quo. Give God $10 and he'll give me back $10 or $10 worth of stuff I need. And that's not exactly the spirit of this verse, but I'm sticking to NLT as much as I can this year, I think, anyway. But the principle is there. When I give what others need, only out of the resources I have, no expectations that I do it out of something I don't have, so that I don't have to go out and be somebody else or do something else so that I can help someone. He just calls us right where we are in the life we live. Whatever you have, is it available? Will you help other people around you? No relationship to whether we're spiritual brothers or sisters or not. It's just we're human brothers and sisters, all made in the image of God. And the return will be an abundance. That's the thing we pick out of this verse because of the words pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. So that means whatever you give, what you get back, and it's never the expectation of exact. It's all of life. That's, I think, a beautiful thing, that if I help somebody with a physical task that I can do, if I'm out snow blowing, I actually got to use my snow blower, not at all last year, and I can go and do some for the neighbors, it doesn't mean I'm going to get something for my snowblower back. It means in all of my life, God has continued to bring an abundance that he promises. And there's an effect here in Proverbs that I love some of the words that were used in the book of Proverbs. Give freely. That's chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The words in English don't carry as much impact as they do if you look up the original language, which was Hebrew in this case. Wealthy means increase. We tend to think of wealth as I've reached the status of millionaire. That's wealthy. Those things on Facebook crack me up. How can you retire with only $500,000? I'm going, I'm going to retire with nothing. That's my investment portfolio is whoop. So I laugh at that anyway. But there is an increase. So it's not running out, which is what we see in the world is things run out, things wear out. But in the kingdom, when we are living a life of love toward others, there is an increase. And I think the idea is it's continuing to increase. The generous will prosper, means literally to be made fat. Now, we just talked about health, physical health, and kale and all that good stuff. And I know one or two of you are trying to lose weight, and so am I. But we know that in that culture, and still today in some cultures, the bigger around you are it signifies that you are doing well in your life. You have lots of abundance in your life, and so we are able to cross over that and go there. It's prospering, being made fat. It's extra. You don't need the fat. It keeps you warmer in the winter, but. And then the word refreshed. So I think of coming out from a hay field. I baled hay one summer up in West Branch at this really big outfit, and it was admittedly cooler and less humid than down here, but we had our humid days too. And coming back and getting that glass of water, the guy had a spring. West Branch has springs all around it, and he would just dip a bucket of water, and it was ice cold, man, almost, and that was refreshing. But that's not really what this word means. That's a great feeling, right? It means to be saturated. So not just a drink and then you go out on the wagon and do another load. It's saturated. You know what saturated means? It's so much soaked into you that it's dripping off and running away. More than you need. Again, abundance. That's what happens to the material things we have. And so living the life of love, according to Jesus, means that the material thing isn't the goal. It's settling and finding peace with that God determines an abundance in me, and I can count on it. I can count on abundance if I follow him. Inwardly, when I'm living a life of love, following Jesus and his commands, what the Bible says about the do's and the don'ts. So that's not the point, but those are the helps God gives us to help us to be in the best place, the most healthy place across these four things and across any other thing where you could say there would be health or lack of health. So Matthew 6, 31 through 33, so don't worry about these things, all the material stuff, saying what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So the call to live a life of love to self, Christ's love to yourself, is laying down yourself to him and letting him lead how you should live our lives. And so, as I said at the beginning, we usually talk about how that looks and what that means and how to do it, but I'm trying to focus more on what we get from it. So if you hear an absence, if you've like, I would like to hear more about what that means, come to me and we can talk about that, but it's not a part of this series. But it says here that we don't have to worry about all these things when I'm living this life of love and I'm putting myself in God's hands because he'll give me everything I need and he already knows. So you will have material health, the things you need. Do we make adjustments when all of a sudden we don't have what we need, when the car won't start, when the microwave burns out, when we get laid off? So it looks like our need isn't being met. Trust, and he will give you the need you have, and sometimes that means we adjust. Okay, I'm getting a little over into the other side. So we have a physical health, we have mental health, we have material health, and the one that you would all expect that is at the beginning of most of these kinds of lists, and that is our spiritual health. We become more spiritually healthy when we are emulating or seeking to follow Jesus and live as he lived and would live in our situation. He didn't live in our culture, so some of the specifics of what we face, he didn't face, but the principles he lived by certainly apply. Outwardly, as we're living our life of love toward others, both those we know and love us, and those who don't like us or even hate us, because the Bible talks very clearly about that, leads to our spiritual health. James 3, verses 17 and 18, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times and willing to yield to others. And this is the call. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. So this is a little different. Here's a snapshot of the life of love. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. That's the benefit. That's the effect when we are helping others, serving others, not giving them what they deserve, negative things, that's mercy, and giving them things they don't deserve, that's grace. We reap through that outward expression of Jesus' lives and the lives of those around us a righteousness. And it's not just go pick the beans. Did your mom do that? I hated picking beans because that's where the mosquitoes live. Did you know that? Mosquitoes love green beans, not pole beans so much, but the ones close to the ground. And I go out there as a kid and they just swarm around me. You didn't just go out and pick a couple of green beans that came to fruition that day or the tomato that was ripe enough. It's a harvest. That's like you go out with the combine and there's the field of corn and you go down that band and you're piling it up in the back. It's harvest. It's a big thing. They even had a festival in the Old Testament. They celebrated the first of the fruits that came in at harvest, and at the end they had a big celebration as well, and it's a harvest of righteousness. Jesus is the righteous one, or right one. He's always right. We said that last week. Jesus is always right, and he brings us into being able to be more right in our choices and our actions and our attitudes. It's so difficult. It's impossible without him, but that is a benefit when we follow the way Jesus says life ought to be lived. But inwardly, when we take care of ourselves, when we say no to ourselves where the Bible says we should, and we say yes to ourselves where it says we should, both in the hard things of, you know, letting go and helping others, but also some of the benefits that we feel like we might not deserve, especially if you wrestle with your own self-image, sometimes that you can say, oh, God shouldn't be good to me, or how could he be good to me because of who I am? We need to embrace that. That's part of being good to ourselves, living the life of love toward ourselves. So we already looked at Romans 12:1. Now we go to Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What is more spiritually healthy than knowing God's will? Talk about sweet. That's a sweet place when you know God's will. So don't mistake that means you see every step along the way. He does that rarely, at least in my life. Rarely does he show me a long stretch. He often shows me the next step. But it's the assurance that I have that because I've turned my life over to him and I'm endeavoring to live according to his will. That's living a life of love toward myself. That's part of it, at least. And Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. There's the word harvest again, and this is talking about the final harvest, the blessing. The everlasting life is that highest spiritual health thing that we can get from living a life of love as Jesus lived a life of love. And so he knows we're not perfect at this. Let me remind you of that. Any church you've ever been that puts that mantle of shame and blame if you don't do everything exactly right, don't stay at a place like that. Well, try to change it first, and if they won't change, then don't stay. Go find a place that preaches the truth. We're frail creatures. We're the victims of sin, and I don't mean victim as in poor me. That is, we are affected by sin that we are also a part of, and we suffer the consequences. That's what I mean by that. So we walk along the path to Jesus, with Jesus, and we make mistakes along the way. And we treat somebody the way we shouldn't. We don't treat ourselves well. We indulge in something he says we shouldn't. As simple as, going back to physical health, eating is good, but eating too much is not good. Like, that bag of potato chips opens at my house, and Diana better hurry up, because they'll be gone, and she won't get many, and that bag will be empty. No, I've not done that for 2 weeks. I'm trying, and it's starting to work, so praise the Lord. But that's the truth of how we operate. So he is pleased that we are walking after him, chasing after him, wanting to be like that. Not at any level you achieve of that, and he just loves to see that we're coming in his way. Because every time we walk in his direction, there is an effect he gives us in drawing us into being more like him. So the final question at the bottom of your handout, if you have it, is my health needs. Doesn't have to be one of these four things. It could be something that falls under one of these four headings, or it could be something totally different. But we owe it to the one who rescued us to look at our lives in the categories of life like this, though more, health and physical health, mental health, material health, and spiritual health. What else is it? There are relationship things. The last time I take up the pulpit again, which is in 2 weeks, Jim Thompson's going to be here next Sunday. So it's weird. I'm in the office this week, but he's preaching Sunday, then I'm having a week of vacation, and I'll be here the next Sunday for communion on the 2nd of March, as well as the next in this series. My health needs, what am I facing? And so the answer is, in this place that I have a need, am I following Jesus? Outwardly toward others and inwardly the way he would want me to treat myself. And that's the item you take to him in prayer. So take some time and think about that and write that down if writing is helpful to you. Share it with another person when you know that's something you should be praying about, because God created us to live in families. And finally, none of this begins without beginning a relationship walking with Jesus. So until we say to him, I see you, I understand enough that you came to pay the penalty for my sin, which is a spiritual death. He did on the cross, his body, and he paid the penalty for us so that we don't have to. And we say, I'm going to start following you today. You can't even begin to think about, then where do I need to be healthy? That's the first thing. It's like being dehydrated, and you know, the older you get, when you get dehydrated, you start seeing things. And to just trying to figure out what's going on your own, you finally get into the hospital where they can start giving you the fluid you need. Everything changes from that point. It's the same thing in the kingdom. Outside of following Jesus, you only have your own resources and the faulty, false, deceitful resources of the world that will only make you sicker in all these categories and in every category. So the first step to health is accepting Jesus. And when I say that, I like to almost always say, doesn't mean you have to understand everything about what it means to do that, but you make the choice that he's the one that has all the things that are worth following, and you will follow him. Make that decision today as we pray or at some other time, but make sure you share that with someone else as well as something that you have that is a health need. As we find health happens in our life when we emulate Jesus, that's the effect. Let's stand and pray, and then we're going to sing the traditional old doxology a cappella. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for, first of all, I guess, being what we were created to be. Not Savior and Son of God, God in the flesh, but in the image, unspoiled, of God. And that's how we came into this world many, many years ago. But when we chose through our ancestors to try to be our own leader and God. It all was broken, so we can't see what our intended created design is except as we look at you, because you are holy and full. And you came as a bridge so that we could reestablish a relationship with God the Father through your sacrifice on the cross. But you didn't just come for one event, for one choice, for one moment in time. You came to change us and to continue to release us from the disguise that sin put on us, that even fools us. You came to recreate us into what you originally designed as you thought about each of us and created each of us specifically with certain personalities, exposed to different things in the world, different gifts. We thank you, Lord, that that love of yours is so specific, so personal, and yet that you are above all and so powerful. And I thank you, Lord, in this world of things falling apart, of decaying, of not ever getting better, but of always diminishing, that you say we can be growing in health toward you. In the four ways we've talked about today, but just the whole thing, Lord, in our relationship with you, we are getting more and more and more as we follow you through this world. And I thank you, Lord, that one of the most joyful thoughts about that is, as we grow in you, we get to share with other people who don't yet understand the disguise they themselves wear and need to be freed from, the identity that awaits to be discovered or blossomed maybe, because it's in us, because you made us all in your image. So Lord, I pray you would speak to us, first to those who haven't walked with you yet, whether they're here or online watching, that they would take that moment now to say, Jesus, I don't know all of everything I think there is to know, but I want to start following you today. Put myself in your hands. I received the cleansing for my sins. Help me to start following you and being like you. We rejoice with them, Lord, and I pray you'd lead people to share that with someone else. But for the rest of us who are seeking health, and I believe you're speaking right now, and there's something on our minds that either falls into one of these categories or one other that makes good sense. Yes, I need to be healthier here. Yes, I could be more like Jesus here. Yes, I could help there, or I could be better to myself. Help us, Lord, and really do something about it by praying and sharing that with someone else to have prayer support. And Lord, send us from this place changed and different, closer to you, having received at least one nugget of something we really needed to continue to walk in joy and power with you and face this world knowing you will take us through it and collect us to be with you forever and ever when this world is over. And we commit it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.